In this video, we're going to try and understand why Russia launched a full-scale military attack on Ukraine and what story or narrative is being passed on to other countries in the world. Let me begin this video by saying this statement. If you have a friend like the United States, then you don't need enemies in this world. When I say the United States, I don't mean the general public. I mean the United States Democratic Government and US Deep State. And today in this Russia-Ukraine war, we can clearly see what I mean. The United States is only doing talks. They are not helping Ukraine. War has started. There is not even a single American soldier in Ukraine. All that we are hearing is America and European countries putting sanctions after sanctions on Russia. Just think for a moment. Don't you think Russia has done the calculations? If Western power put economic sanctions on Russia, don't you think Russia already knows that? And that will affect the country's economy. Don't you think Russia knows that? Even then, Russia sent troops to Ukraine. So in this video, we're going to analyze this whole scenario. First of all, don't get carried away by the Western media's conclusion. Don't form any conclusion based on media reporting. This issue is much deeper and it is personal for Russia. It is about securing Russia's national interest. If I have to summarize this issue, it is all about Russia securing and protecting its territory or motherland versus NATO expansion. The reason Russia attacked Ukraine is because it does not want the United States and NATO installations and weapons, including nuclear weapons, anywhere near the Russian border. Whether you agree with Russia or not, Putin has a reason. If you remember, the United States and NATO did the same thing in Turkey while attacking Syria. Before 2013, the headquarters of NATO Allied Air Command for Southern Europe was in Izmir, Turkey. The United States gave some 90 B-61 nuclear bombs to Turkey, which are also right now there at the Incirlik Air Base. These bombs were kept there in case of any nuclear conflict. And of course, their use requires the approval of NATO. Don't you think Russia is aware of it? In fact, Russia was supporting Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. So today, if United States and NATO forces have eyes on Ukraine, do you think Russia will not do anything about it? If tomorrow American weaponry arrives in Ukraine, Moscow is 35 minutes away if you want to use Tomahawk rockets. And suppose if you want to use hypersonic missiles, Moscow is just 5 minutes away from Ukraine. Russia from day one has been saying to the United States and NATO to stay away and do not interfere in Ukraine. The problem that you see in the eastern part of Ukraine, that is in the Donbas region, it is happening since 2014. It is now 8 years. Again, I will repeat what I said in my previous video. If Russia wanted to attack or invade the eastern part of Ukraine, it would have done it long back. The reason why Russia attacked now is that the United States and European Union countries did not listen to Russia's demand. The United States lives on the other side of the ocean. It practically has no threat to its territory from any big country. But if you see, the United States goes around everywhere in the world and creates conflict. Do you think that is correct? Russia had a very simple demand. Just stay away from Ukraine, that's it. But no, the West had to interfere. Even Ukraine joined the bandwagon. And now Ukraine is all alone. Nobody is coming to help them. All these Western countries are just doing talks. Meetings after meetings, giving media interviews, asking the world to pray and whatnot. So the real problem of this war is the United States. And then few European countries also supported the United States. Because initially, Germany and few other Euro countries were not aggressive towards Russia. But now European Union and United States have a joint approach. So you see, it was Ukraine and Russia's matter. They could have solved it diplomatically. But now the matter has become worse. And it will only stop when Russia gains control of Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. Because somewhere Russia knows that if today it let go Ukraine, then again tomorrow Ukraine will repeat it. And it will go on. Ukraine will do what Russia does not want Ukraine to do. So Russia is thinking, let's put a break to this matter once and for all. Now I know many of you are also thinking, well, America is interfering because Ukraine is a democracy and it does not want to be controlled by the Russian dictatorship. Well, first of all, what you have to understand is that Western countries are not the sole custodian of democracy. They have a version of democracy which is called liberal democracy. Every country has democracy, but they have their own version of democracy. Democracy cannot have a single version which the United States and the European countries constantly preach to the world. Democracy has different versions. And the next thing is, who told you Russia has dictatorship? Russia has its own model of governance. Just because someone's model of governance is different from the United States and European countries' model of governance, is it right to put a negative label? So what you have to understand is that Russia has a different model of governance, which is not the same as the Western model of governance. But if today we all are feeling bad for Ukraine, then we also have to equally feel bad for Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, and also to a certain extent Iran. But if you notice, the narrative is different about all these countries. It's all because of Western media. That is why today we don't feel as bad about these countries as Ukraine. So I'm repeating again, Russia attacked Ukraine because Ukraine and the Western countries repeatedly ignored Russia's concern. Again, many of you, because of Western media, also believe that Russia has always interfered in Ukraine's domestic affairs. That is why Ukraine has an inclination towards European countries and the United States. Now my question to you is, do you think if Ukraine allies with the United States and other European countries for support, do you genuinely believe in your heart to heart, do you believe Ukraine can remain sovereign? No, it cannot. That means Ukraine cannot remain sovereign country as long as US and Russia exist. Then what do you think Ukraine should do? Ukraine should adopt the policy of non-alignment, like how India does. Of course, India is also right now in a tight spot. But the point is, until a country gains international reputation, it should always follow the policy of non-alignment. And now again, many of you will say, Ukraine always wanted to be an independent country, but Russia does not allow Ukraine to be one. But again, that is also not fully true. Notice I said not fully true. Of course, we have to agree that Russia has some influence on Ukraine. That is natural, right? 30 years ago, it was all one country. Plus, ethnically, Ukrainians and Russians are very mixed. There is very little difference in their cultures. But then look at it this way. Russia has always helped Ukraine. From 1991 to 2013, Russia has given massive subsidies to Ukraine, which is estimated around $250 billion. Then Russia has also waived off Ukrainian debts, which were accumulated during the Soviet era. And if you see the other way, Ukraine has made many attempts to cheat Russia, sometimes in the form of stealing gas. Russia used to give gas at a subsidized rate so that the Ukrainian government could pass on the benefit to the domestic consumers, who are old pensioners. There are many old people in Ukraine who are poor. They don't have that much of money, and they were once part of the Soviet culture. Plus, many of them are also Russian-speaking. So instead of giving gas at a subsidized price to the domestic consumers, it was resold to industrial enterprises. And then Ukraine also did not return some of the Soviet assets that were allocated to Russia, which were part of the commitments before Ukraine gained independence. So if you consider all these things, then somewhere Russia also feels betrayed and cheated by Ukraine. I'll give a similar example in the Indian context. When Pakistan was separated from India in 1947, even India gave a lot of resources and money to Pakistan. But what did India get in return? Betrayal. India fought four wars against Pakistan. Now, I am not replacing Ukraine with Pakistan. I'm just giving you an example to understand when a small country gets separated from a big country and starts working against the parent country's interest. And surprisingly, both in Ukraine's and Pakistan's context, it was always the United States. Why do you think India never took back the POK region till now? It was always the fear of American interference. Anyhow, again in 2014 Euromaidan protest, which was basically a coup, it was sponsored by the United States and European countries. So don't say that Ukraine is a sovereign country. Its fate either lies in the hands of Russia or the West. Sovereign is a fancy word that is used quite often, just like the word peace. Plus, if you see at the face value, United States has always given assurance to Russia that they will not expand towards the Russian borders. But still, the United States used to interfere in the affairs of Central and Eastern European countries in the name of development and democracy by giving foreign aid. But then it turned out everything was the opposite. So the real war is between the West and Russia. Ukraine is the springboard through which the US wanted to threaten Russia militarily. And before anyone knew, Russia attacked Ukraine, and now they are heading to the capital city of Kyiv. What did the United States do apart from talking to the press? They should have helped Ukraine. Sanctions don't help, because sanctions are only good if monitored. There are many channels of doing business, and there is always some country which is willing to trade for cheaper import. Can the West monitor everything in the world? Let me explain to you what sanctions are. Suppose you have a big house, and you tell your child not to step out of the house. But can you keep an eye 24 hours and every corner of the house? There are many ways of getting out of the house. Similarly, just putting sanctions is not good enough. You also have to monitor it and see to it that your sanctions are being followed. There are many channels through which countries can do trade without even letting anyone know. And furthermore, we don't see Russia trembling or breaking any sweat listening to these sanctions. That means Russia has proper plans. And one more thing you also have to understand is that US sanctions will also hurt the European economy. Europe depends on Russia for almost 40% of its energy supply. That is why you see oil prices are all-time high. So I believe Russia is self-dependent. In Hindi, we call it Atmanirbhar. Plus, Russia also knows that if the West collectively does not want to listen to Russia's demand and wants to put sanctions, and if they can bear the consequences of that, then why does Russia have to be so worried? Everybody will suffer. So you have to understand that if the United States wants to build military bases in Ukraine in the name of NATO, then obviously Ukraine will have American troops, artillery and missile defense systems which are going to be literally minutes away from Russia. Then what do you expect from another superpower? And one more thing that I want you to remember is that it was the Democratic Party under Obama who organized the Euromaidan coup. Even at that time, they did not send NATO forces to help Ukraine when Russia was taking over Crimea. Now what will happen is, as far as I can understand, Russia will take over Kyiv, and regarding the Donbas region, Putin will conduct referendums in Donetsk and Luhansk to determine what the people who live in those regions want to do. And since we know that the majority of the residents are Russian ethnic, they will vote for Russia, and that is how Putin will justify the intervention. And then, as you know, America and its allies will reject the validity and outcome of the referendum, because that will suit their political ambition to restrict the economic development of Russia. But at the same time, there will be many other countries that will accept the outcome, and then some countries will be neutral about it. And that's how everything will be back to normal. In the end, I just want to quickly add a few more points. Do you remember when did the communist ideology take over the Soviet Union? It was in 1917. The 10 years from 1917 to 1927, the Russian Empire saw a radical transformation into a socialist state. And then in 1922, the Soviet Union started. So from 1917 to 1922, it was Soviet Russia. And after 1922 till 1991, it was the Soviet Union. And before 1917, it was the Russian Empire. And Nicholas II was the last emperor of the Russian Empire, which had a massive extension across Eurasia since 1721. So basically in 1917, there was a Russian civil war, where the Bolsheviks took control. Who were the Bolsheviks? They were far leftist Marxist followers, and their founder was Vladimir Lenin. Anyhow, I'm not going to make this a history lesson. Perhaps I'll make a separate video on the history of the Soviet Union. Anyways, the point that I'm trying to make is that it was in 1917 when communists gained control over Soviet Russia, and their aim was to destroy capitalism and create a socialist society. The thing about communism is that they don't believe in culture, religion, or in the idea of the nation. So naturally, Lenin, Stalin, then Nikita Khrushchev, Boris Yeltsin, all of them destroyed the Russian culture, the nationalist sentiments, and did not do anything to revive it. And then in 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, 15 republics which together formed the Soviet Union all got separated. The Western countries started preaching to the world that they have completely destroyed the Soviet Union. They have created a new history. The end of the Cold War was seen as a victory of democracy over communism. And that is where the world started thinking, communism is associated with dictatorship. Actually, that is correct, but you also have to understand that, at the ground level, communist ideology takes birth from radicalization. At first, you need a breeding ground. After that, you need to charge the public, making people oppose some ideas. It could be against the government, culture, religion, and then emerge as a sustainable and a viable political option for those radicalized people. So the leader is not the problem, the ideology is the problem. That is why communist ideology does not care about territorial boundaries. Two groups of people living in a separate country can have similar views if they are communists. That is why you will see the same ideology in worker unions, employee unions, railway unions. Wherever there is union, you will get hints of communist ideology. Always remember, communists have always participated in charging people. They have an anti-establishment mindset. They will tell you things like you are poor because that person is rich. They will talk in such a sweet manner and convincing manner that you will not even realize when you got radicalized. That is how they charge people. So communism is a mindset. So after 1991, the Western powers started preaching to the world that they have destroyed the Soviet Union. They have created a new history. They created a narrative. End of Cold War is seen as a victory of democracy over communism. And that is where the world started thinking communism is associated with dictatorship. But what happened was, by 1991, communism was out of Russia. As I said, communism is an ideology. It is a mindset. So it left Russia in 1991 after destroying 70 years of Russian culture. But then it moved deep into the Western society and it destroyed their culture, values, everything. That is why you will see that today in the United States, Canada and European countries, there's a huge identity crisis. All of the material progress, their per capita GDP, their democracy, prosperity is of no use. People are neck deep in consumerism. They have gone woke. They don't even respect their elders. All they want is more rights. There is no culture, there are no values, there are no ethics, no feeling of nationalism. Unfortunately, the same Western lifestyle is slowly spreading in India. Anyhow, on the other hand, after 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, Boris Yeltsin became the president. Communists have a symbol, if you remember, hammer and sickle. On December 25th, 1991, the communist flag was lowered for the last time over the Kremlin, thereafter replaced by the Russian tricolor. That means Boris Yeltsin became the first president of the Russian state. He was the president till 1999. Even he did not do anything to revive the old Russian culture, the religious values and the nationalist sentiment. And if you remember, in 1999, he handed over the charge to Vladimir Putin. And since then, he was either the prime minister or the president. So you can say Vladimir Putin is the first leader in Russia to have revived the old Russian culture, religious values and national sentiments. And that is how the Western media tries to show Vladimir Putin and Russia as a villain. The Democrats in the United States are actually the communist mindsets. And you can also see that today, United States has charged Ukraine so much that it has to fight alone with Russia. And what is the United States doing? It is asking the world to come together. And on the other hand, Russia is saying, no one will interfere in this fight. Stay out of it. So Russia is actually fighting for its motherland, for its territory, and for also its own people who live in Ukraine. Honestly, the Western power had to just stay out of this. Ukraine got carried away in sweet talks of the Western countries. Unfortunately, today it is in trouble. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.